Friendly Geordie's exclusive podcast for patron donors only. So if you're watching this and you aren't a Patreon subscriber...
I fucked up in that case, because like they shouldn't be getting it. In which case, start paying up some dollars, stop ripping society out, and this is it.
Props to them, though, because they are
geniuses.
A really cheap Napster.
Yeah, cheap Napster, but like respect, because like you somehow managed to con the system.
Yeah, kudos to you. I think that you deserve nothing but praise. Ali is of a different opinion, I suppose, because he gets the lion's share of the profits. Somebody who doesn't really have any skin on the game. You're a smart guy. You're a Christopher's case.
It's an endangered lion. The lion is starving.
Okay. Now that you've framed yourself as a zoo animal, I guess, in Afghanistan.
Yeah, the snow leopard.
Which is you. Yeah, you're barely alive.
Yeah, I guess
in an environment that is not aimed at you.
Yeah, let alone prey. There's no grass here. Even if I was a herbivore, I'm still fucked.
What, antelopes don't like cement?
Yeah, the only...
No Afghanistan zookeepers.
Yeah, can you please start killing Taliban insurgents?
I hate that how they always... That story upset me so much more than the entire Afghanistan war. Of which to this day I have zero sympathy for, because I just hear over and over again that Afghani people, they're basically the Amazonian women of the real world. They just really like wars.
Yeah, it's their shtick. They wouldn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
But you want to hear an uplifting
story?
It's so
true. It's just like how Italians like pasta.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Thank you
pasta
very much for
and
clarifying
war.
That, world expert Ali.
No, but here's the thing. There's good things coming out of that part too.
What?
Talking about like snow leopards that are in like these particular kinds of snow leopards, which are in the tribal areas of Afghanistan and Pakistan. They were seriously endangered. Guess what? Their population is growing.
I wasn't expecting that as well. Guess what? They're extinct.
They're extinct. No, their population is growing. They're actually, because and thanks to WWF, not the Triple H one, but the I Like Pandas one.
Oh, I forgot. They had to change their name because WWF was saying, "Are you seriously going to muscle in on this?"
Yeah, so they changed it. So Vince McMahon is a nice guy. Who knew?
Good on him.
With the locals, because the thing was, David Attenborough went to the mountains of Pakistan to look for these snow leopards. And the thing is, these snow leopards, one snow leopard, territory is about 200 km.
Wow,
it's insane.
They're like the early settlers of New South Wales. How Captain Phillip would just go, "You're a free man now. How much land do you want?" 100,000 hectares. Are you sure? You sure you don't want 300,000?
Yeah, so Parramatta belongs to you now. So David Attenborough couldn't find snow leopards. So he was like, "What do we do?" And then some of the locals were like, "We know where those guys are." Because like the thing is, a lot of times, the problem with endangered species is not necessarily the locals. It's the fucking city folks that are like going out there hunting or cutting off trees for property. People that live in these areas kind of respect the animals around them because they've grown up around them. Their generations have. So WWF, with the help of locals in the mountains, have helped like increase the population to now where it's like almost not an endangered species in that particular region anymore.
Oh, that's so feel good.
That's
a really nice story. And I think it's the perfect segue into why Brumbies are responsible for the extinction of 27 Australian species. What do you reckon? Oh, now you're moving by microphone for reasons that aren't about me, like probing deeply into your sexual life, Ali. And I don't approve of that at all.
You're most welcome into it. Literally 5 minutes ago, Jordan was like, "So what's the Tinder scene like, eh?"
Oh, that's all I'm interested in.
Man, it's actually kind of depressing.
All I like hearing is... Ali busting a nut into some random chick that he barely knows the name of.
That is not true.
That I'm interested in more? You don't know what I'm interested in.
No, I know that you're interested in more, but like I don't have those stories of like, yeah, I met her once. Dude, I've never had a one night stand. It always ends up being like, yeah, we're in a relationship now.
Mm. Something about me does. Something about you doesn't scream one night stands, and I'm pretty sure it's the fact that you, despite being an Australian citizen, don't have an American baseball cap.
Yeah, don't do caps. Me and Michael Jordan not into caps.
That's pretty much. I'm sure that that is what women look at to see whether or not they're one night stand material or long term relationship boyfriend. Doesn't follow the Knicks. Yeah, that's a keeper.
Oh, you know what? Okay, here's the thing. This is the perfect thing that I want to. So this is what like one of my exes have said, and it's she's like, okay, I'm gonna give you some really critical advice.
What?
She's like, you don't know how to just fuck.
What does that mean?
It means she was saying like when you're with a girl, you give off this impression that you're like in love with them when you might not. Because this is when like I broke up with her. She was just like thinking that I was saying like I'm like you're taking this relationship at a very fast pace that I'm not too keen on. And she was like, eventually she was like, when everything was cool, we're friends now. So she was just saying like, you need to learn how to just fuck. So can you teach me how to like give off the impression that I'm just
You're asking the wrong guy, because I'm exactly the same. But
please help me.
But I think
I don't know if I want that. That's a very dirty feeling too. So maybe it's for the best.
I'm pretty sure that the two-step process to that is, one, buy a leather jacket.
Yeah, I'm pretty close.
Two, be an alcoholic. That's the guys that I always see slay. It's just people that are like, I can't even remember having sex last night.
But I don't do that. I don't do like lots of alcohol. I can like I would just have like a couple of beers and then like I don't like I can't.
Stoners are long term boyfriends. Yes. Stoners are long term everything.
Stoners, dude. Stoners are,
because they're the ends of humanity. They take a very long time to say anything. So purely just by you're committed to a long term relationship, going on a date with them because you will be there for 7 months.
Yeah, and also, like, okay, one question.
What?
I know you're the worst person for this.
Yeah.
But when you're with someone who you particularly don't want to be with for a really long period of time.
Right.
Do you, like, not make them feel special? Isn't that, like, aren't you supposed to woo women by default?
Yeah, no, I ran on the same program as you, but I think it's because we learned all of our socializing skills not from an older brother, but I think we must have just watched The Little Mermaid heaps.
So we're like,
because
yeah,
but you just get into that frame of you gotta treat them right. But
yeah, you got yeah.
But they want one night stands as well, but they want it with a guy that is into one night stands, as opposed to someone who obfuscates what their intentions are from the beginning of going, oh, yep, flowers. Yeah, that's all I'm interested in. So,
yeah,
I think
like,
that's the
I
deal.
Would do shit like that. I'm like,
yeah. Well, you've got no one to blame but yourself, Ali. Yeah. And I don't know how to help you. You're just, I'm sorry. I am a doctor talking to a cancer patient here. There's nothing I could do.
Yeah, like, I quote, if you want women just to have sex with you, you don't bring them flowers and book places in the mountains. You just tell them that they look kind of all right and you fuck them and get out of there.
Damn. Yeah. Can't argue with any of
no,
that.
No, but here's the problem. How do you manage to get someone to fuck you by just saying you kind of look all right? You try doing that, as if chicks would be like, yeah, all right, I'll fuck you.
Nah, it's... You have to be one of those guys that you can see it with watching Love Island, which is great because it's an experiment into sociology.
Yeah, that show wanted more marketing. Thanks for that.
It needed it, too.
Yeah, it's
no one, not enough people know what Channel Go is. It is different to Channel 9, slightly. They play Charlie's Angels sometimes.
good movie, good movie, good idea.
Oh, yeah, I mean, nobody's denying that.
Drew Barrymore, you're still a piece.
And Lucy Liu, who, even though I have yellow fever, no thanks.
Really? I thought she was, like, supposed to be the hottest Asian in the biz.
Yeah, but people seem to miss out on the glaringly obvious fact, I would have thought, that she's extremely cockeyed.
What?
Kind of gross.
What does that mean? I don't
know. Cockeyed?
Should I know what that means?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
I suppose you didn't grow up in Queensland, did you?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was hiding in Rockhampton.
And the question, the Someone who's cockeyed is me. Your eyes are wonky.
Oh.
So that's my two cents on Charlie's Angels. Now, moving on for this exclusive podcast for Patreon subscribers, we have this just for an hour.
So that's it.
White noise.
White noise.
So you could get to sleep easier. Get what you pay for. I'll move on to the Brumbies. Okay. Which is what I'm talking about with the
No, in fact,
species.
You should probably preface that by the idea that you were thinking of and ask them if they want it or not.
Do you want me, because it's your money, to read out rudimentary scripts that aren't exactly, well, English yet?
In the mind of Jordan Shanks before a video releases. You don't want to be there, but like if you want it, whatever.
Yeah. Do you want to see the Mr. Megorium Wonder Emporium behind the scenes tour of something that is going to be nowhere near as good as having a bunch of sound effects in the background and special effects? Do you want that? Do you want me to read out scripts like I'm Stephen Fry?
Yeah.
Do you want that?
But
on
you
an
know
audio
what?
Format for your long trips. That should get you from Cooper Petey to Sydney. An 8-minute script.
But I think you guys should want that. Because it is actually like a really enlightening thing if you're like planning on writing or doing anything with your life, because it takes like you'll understand the amount of freaking the editing that's required.
It's not easy
and you'll understand like how a joke is made. But you've got to fucking pay up for it, you know. Just saying.
No, I couldn't have put it better myself, Ali. Frankly, because I couldn't care whether or not I read the script out. It seems like you're more invested in the idea than I am.
And also, like, it's there, so it's easy content. Like, you know, you're working heaps on it anyways. So
I'll give you the long and the short of it this week. But I've been looking into the Nationals in New South Wales show. This affects everyone. Banning
all two of you sitting in rural WA.
Oh, I can't imagine the people that are in rural Australia that listen to this podcast.
Yeah, what the hell are you?
Because pretty much all we talk about is you just go to a pub, right, and then like you just don't care, and then you get pushy. But they don't have clubs.
But none of
what,
us
what's
get
the closest
pussy.
Thing that they have to that? A paddock.
And also, none of us get pussy. Like, we're the worst.
I'm pretty sure I'm in a long-term relationship. I'm pretty sure the last time I had sex was 2 years ago.
And even though I'm not, I'm still shit at it. Dude, like, we're the worst people for pickup. Like, we can't even lie.
That we impart so much advice about it.
And that's what annoys the listeners, dude. Like, you guys don't know shit.
Does it?
Yeah, especially women. A lot of women are they're saying you don't know shit. You just
about
keep talking,
picking up
or understanding, because like we go deep into women's psychology
too,
like experts. So a woman's
yeah,
basically
first
thinking.
First to admit that, nonetheless, we will continue about it because we know it annoys you just like horoscopes do. And in fact, this is what the Patreon exclusive podcast will be. Just like the original, just like the actual one is 70% sex talk, this will be 70% about why Virgos are the best partner.
that is not true. Aries are, and everyone knows that.
No, they don't. See, this is where there's fervent debate, behind the scenes fights that you're only going to be privy to on this podcast, I guess. In fact, I feel like punching Pilot Vali in the head right now. For having a different opinion on something that is like less based in reality than fantasy football.
Why are Virgo the best, dude? Like for some reason, all of the women that I've been with have been Aries, and not like on purpose. It just happened.
Because they like your intellect; it ignites them.
Oh, I am very smart.
But it's true though. Like fire goes with air. I've said it a million times before, but I do think that the best star sign is Virgo. Because they have serial killers in them and they thin out the population.
Oh, you know who's a Virgo? Beatrice, who appeared on this pod.
Yeah, that's right. She does have a very earthly vibe to her.
You're in a relationship. That sucks. You could have gone for it. Too bad.
God.
Cunt.
It's just... it really is the worst advice. If you weren't in a long-term relationship, guess what? You could fuck other chicks.
Tell me that sounds like a bad thing.
I can't. God, that's what happens. My girlfriend's like, there's no way that my girlfriend donates.
No,
she is
no
not a fan.
But yeah, but
and
like,
I don't know why.
A tragedy of life. But hey, I'm not in a relationship because I'm commitment phobic, I think. I don't know. Either way.
Oh no.
Brumbies, what the
just,
fuck?
Damn, we've run out of film. Well, you get what you pay for.
Well, seriously. Yeah. We've run out of film.
Yeah, there's none left. It's gone.
And
now it's shutting down. Beautiful. Well, the point is, we can still plow on with... The reason why the Brumbies aren't getting culled in a national park in Kosciuszko, because the Nationals, the party that scrapped the Native Vegetation Act in New South Wales, which has resulted in hundreds of thousands of animals dying across the state, native animals, might I add, basically reneged on the greyhound ban purely because Ray Hadley just tapped into his microphone and said, cut that out. Changed a policy that affects
powerful
an entire state.
Man. Life goals. How can we be that guy?
This is the answer. Be a professional footy player. Now, the other one is, refuses to put any new restrictions on live animal exports, because nothing wrong with that industry. It seems totally legit to me, and animals are having a great time because it's basically a wet and wild ride.
I don't know what your problem is. Fresh lamb is good lamb.
You just don't have the Pakistani perspective.
Yeah, you just don't have the Pakistani perspective. You just like take a fucking blunt knife and you put it on their neck and you sort of slide it.
Okay, well, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about it that way. So I fully agree with the Nationals on this. But what I don't agree with is the fact that they care about animals at all. How they're going, we need to protect the cultural heritage of Brumbies. This is from the Nationals leader, John Barliolo, in New South Wales, who championed the bill of mass cullings of kangaroos, who I would argue have slightly more cultural significance than what is essentially a giant rat, because kangaroos are on our fucking coat of arms. Maybe that's a little bit better than like the inspiration to one of the poems that Banjo Patterson wrote that got 3 stars out of 5 on Google. So it's not even his best work. And that's what he's going. To quote Banjo Patterson, you're destroying the national park where Banjo Patterson wrote all of his poems. I don't get how you're making this argument, John.
Yeah,
it's just the fact that no one knows who you are, so you're allowed to be retarded.
Okay, can I ask a question? How old is Banjo Patterson? Like, as in, like, how old? Like, he's dead now, right?
Well,
he's
allow
a historical
me to Google
figure.
That shit, Jamie. And then I forgot that we're in Move FM, where nothing works, Jamie. So,
yeah, so I'm just gonna get back.
A keyboard working is a luxury here.
Yeah, we have to take out the battery, smash them on the floor twice, and plug it back in for it to
and
like click.
Surprisingly, didn't work. yeah. What's your question?
Yeah. So how like Banjo Patterson? He seems like a cultural figure. Is he like 30 years old now, or did he die in like 1872?
Sam, only in Pakistan, eh? How could you not know who Banjo Patterson is?
Dude,
the
his
Shakespeare
name is...
of Australia, because he has a cowboy hat like Bob Catter.
His name is Banjo Patterson. He seemed more like a country singer than like anything else.
Yeah, well, that's what he is. He's a country singer before recording studios existed. He was around in the 1800s.
So I was.
And
right
he wrote The Man from Snowy River, which is probably the most famous Australian poem. Year 12 taught us about some housewife chick in the 50s that wrote a poem that sucked balls, so that was pretty good. But Banjo Patterson is indisputably an extremely good poet. And it brings so many head shakes to a table discussion, the fact that John Barliolo is just going, we need to protect Brumbies, this virus, because that's also the other thing that's happening. Apparently, the 27 species that the Brumbies are wiping out by eroding the topsoil in this national park holds no cultural significance to Australia, despite the fact they are Australian.
And Brumbies aren't, right?
Yeah.
So what's the shtick?
Yeah, this might come as a shock to you, but Australian ecosystems didn't evolve to harbour the things in the saddle club.
Excuse me, you're one of them, so, like, by that theory, you're supposed to fuck off then.
Yeah, and if there was a bill that went through and said we should just cull, I don't know, half the humans in Australia, I'd be pro it.
No, dude, like 98%, because, like, natives are only 2% of the population at this point.
Yeah, but they're introduced as well. They should line up and get shot. There's nothing that I can defend about the human race. If they were going to helicopter shoot a bunch of us, I go, well, I guess I'm just going to try and hide under a rock. And if the time comes, the time comes.
I don't like this because, like, I am so new. Like, I am, like, 4 years new. So I'm getting killed first. Like, at least you could just be like, yeah, my granddad's a Croat. With me, I'm like, I came here.
True. I added to the Snowy River, unlike the horses. So yeah, I'm doing more for them than they did.
Yeah, and I still have my itinerary that brought me here. Yeah, so I'm a total foreigner.
Yeah, you're only Australian in paper.
And dude, like, come on, my heart, rip it up. It's all blue, red, and white. What's the other one?
Yeah, I support whatever that flag is. You're pointing to the Fijian flag.
Yeah, the New Zealand one. Like, yeah.
Dude, if you pointed to the New Zealand flag, I would think it's the Australian flag. At least the Fijian one is a slightly different shade of blue.
Yeah, no, I'd just be pointing to the Union Jack and like, yeah, the British flag. That's that's who you are, right?
Well, that's pretty much it.
No, I can like, okay. Would you be able to sing the entire national anthem?
Fuck no, dude. I've heard the second verse once in my life.
Here's the thing. I can probably... I couldn't. I can't.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for clarifying. Because
I learned it when I took my citizenship test. I was like, the whole God thing. Yeah, I learned it at the time. And I was just like, because goddamn, I'm going to be Australian, so I better know the fucking national anthem. And I sang it with my heart out at the ceremony. And people thought I was weird. Because I was like going
out. You are.
Yeah, fair enough. People thought I was...
Stop having glasses. It's only something that someone with glasses would think is a good idea. Learning things.
Dude, similarly, I there's only a few things that I've learned. I've forced learned. Which is like the Australian National Anthem, which I have unfortunately forgotten. And how to pray the Muslim way. Like, I was so scared as a kid because, like, no one taught me. My parents didn't teach me how to pray. Like, I would just, like, mime others in weird situations. Like, I'd go down when people were supposed to stand up and I'd look like an idiot.
So, yeah, that's me in every baptism I've ever been to.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, like, I had to, like...
So, you're a Baptist Muslim.
Baptist. So, then I...
That's
so,
such a weird phrase.
You're Baptist
Muslim. The people that watch the Christian channel on digital TV... And Muslim. Don't think that exists.
Yeah, there is one. It's me.
Yeah, that's right.
So like,
I forgot.
I literally forced learned it because I was like, what if someday someone asked me to do it and I can't do it and it'd be so embarrassing? So I literally went on Google how to pray like a Muslim and learned all the verses and the sequence of like rubbing your head on the ground and like when to like hold your dick.
What?
No, you don't have to hold your dick. That was like, it's an action that looks like you're holding your dick, but you're not. Like,
that's so un-Muslim, isn't it? What sexual organs? I'm not sure if they exist or not.
No, of course they exist, as long as they're used wisely.
But I bet you they never use the word crumb in the entire
only
theological
Borat.
Word.
If you consider Borat a Muslim, then
yeah,
yes.
He's Muslim. Yeah, I thought he was the Sheikh, so... That is so good.
So Brumbies. Okay, here's the question about Brumbies. Like let's the $1 million question.
What?
Why do the Nationals give a fuck about Brumbies? So,
this is why you need to pay attention to state politics because they have disproportionate power to how underreported and unknown they are. And they sell Australia off for the smallest amounts of money. Like so small that Ali pointed it out. I could probably buy him and swing his vote the other way.
Yeah,
I could be one of those special interest donors. If we honestly, everyone listening to this chipped in exactly the same amount as they chipped into the podcast, we would have Brumbies getting cold in the national parks tomorrow.
Yeah, just like, yeah, well, the highest bidder gets it, eh? So it's just, it's literally just like, yeah, money.
One of his donors is basically the only organism on Earth that benefits from Brumbies being allowed to tear up national parks. And he is a man... this is so pathetic that this is the kind of person that is allowed to destroy one of Australia's most iconic national parks. A hillbilly. Just basically picture one of the yokels in The Wrong Turn, the movie. That guy gives the head of the Nationals a few thousand for his campaign donations, and he makes his money from stealing the foals of Brumbies. So that sounds like... I can't think of a better way to... make the honor the cultural status of this quote unquote culturally significant creature to Australia, than to tie the mothers to a tree, wait for them to give birth, steal the foal so she's distressed and either dies of distress or dehydration because they rarely ever cut the rope, unless a National Parks ranger finds them, which is becoming less and less likely because the Nationals cut the funding to fucking National Parks.
Just squeezing in. The only thing they want is just horses.
That's it. It's just one guy wants the foals of these Brumbies that are responsible for the destruction of 27 species, the destruction of one of Australia's most beautiful and culturally significant national parks. So that's like quite a high price just for that. But on top of all of it, after the Brumbies eat all of this vegetation, it doesn't grow back because they're destroying the topsoil. So in the end, they're going to starve as well. There is one winner. There's one winner in this entire equation. It's some yokel that looks like one of the yowies that you buy in Coles. That's the guy. That's it. Everything else is a huge loss. And this is just for like a few grand. This is the insanity of state parliament.
Well, even he's not a winner because he's not going to be able to steal baby Brumbies when they're gone.
That's the other thing this moron doesn't understand. More Brumbies mean more foals. Yeah, for like 10 years, you dumb cunt. Then after that, they all die. And then, like, again, like, I just can't... The other thing, like the Nationals. The ones that there is shots of them in the magazine Bacon just being like, oh, fuck, look at this peacock shot. Those guys going, I just can't imagine Brumbies getting shot. It just upsets me so much. What? How is starving to death not worse? If someone gave me the option of being shot in the head or like starving to death, in the words of Vinu Milesh, I'd put the gun to my head and be like, do it. Let's do it.
Do it. It's the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you cold enough to get shot?
It's the lead bucket challenge.
Yeah.
Nah, dude. This is a worthy cause that you're going through.
Yeah, basically that will get 50,000 views because no one gives a shit. Everyone gives a shit to going like, oh my god, every man rapes. Or no, they don't. No man rapes. Shut up.
What are the odds that like at least 5% of your audience is going to be like, hold on, are you advocating killing something?
Yes, I am, Ali. I am so pro machine gunning Brumbies. Just, I would devote 5% of the state's budget to helicopter flying in Sarah Palin to just sit there and shoot them like she does elk.
Okay, here's a question, and answer this honestly. Would you shoot a Brumbie?
Fuck no. But God, there's so many yahoos out there. This is the other thing that is incredible about this bill. There is a party in New South Wales State Parliament called the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party.
Dude, they're big, especially after Pauline Hanson's like fallout. They're like, anyways, yeah, go on.
And they, just judging from their name, I'm guessing a, I don't know, possibly pro-shooting?
Nah, they're really anti it. They're basically just like saying
it's an ironic name. They're just hipsters.
Yeah, they're just hipsters. Just like, yeah,
they represent Newtown.
Yeah, they represent Newtown, and their only policy is, yeah, legalize weed. In fact, make it compulsory.
Yeah, okay. That's the farming part, dude. What's the shooting part? We're just talking about shooting up THC.
Bucket bong.
Well, what's fishing? That's just pretending that you're a dude, pretending you're a hot chick online, just for laughs.
Yeah, we figured this party out. That's their manifesto.
Exposed.
Yeah. So,
but it makes sense because they were the reason that this bill passed. The Shooters, Fishers, and Farmers Party voted to restrict shooting. God, I wish the people that vote for that party knew that. But anyway.
They do. They own Brumbies now.
Yeah, that's our target demographic.
Worthy cause.
Yeah, God, I wish the people paid attention to this and did something about it, i.e. not voted for them next time. But this... I am reticent to say that the whole Friendly Geordie's enterprise is a bubble. Because I get so many messages from people each week going, oh man, my mum always said that the Liberals were good for the economy because John Howard said that he's good for the economy, and I just never clicked that that might be a biased source. And so you get...
Genius. This guy. Anyway, champ.
Yeah. But this is... Anyway. Welcome to the bubble. We've got... Why I'm scared of turning 30 up next.
Oh shit, yeah, this is my favorite segment. So this is what you get for your hard earned dollar being dished out to us for buying Guzmany Gomez.
Me whining about my own personal existential crises that I personally find pathetic until they happen to me.
Yeah, so Jordan's got two biggest issues. One is how the fuck do I get rid of this wrinkle, and how do I avoid turning 30? Over to you, Shanksy.
I don't mind if I turn 30 as long as people go, wow, you look 18. Yeah, the fact that I got carded by this bartender the other day, it brought a tear to my eye. So, I don't know, it's just this general malaise of being on this planet for so long. Was really well encapsulated by this pickup artist I used to listen to when he said, your whole time that you're 20s, in your 20s, all you think is, I'm going to be 20 forever, just eating hot dogs, yeah, Tinder dates, just going to be doing that. And then in your mid-20s, you think, fuck, I better get my act together. Mm. And then you take your head up, and then you're almost 30. And then when you hit 30, this is the sentence that sums up that day. I'm still here. You never think about your life ending after. You never think about life after 20.
What
in your
20s,
you never think about it.
So I'm actually in that stage now of like being
I
like,
gotta get my shit together.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Because here's the thing. So I am actually way into that because this is okay. I actually was thinking about this morning. So I kind of wish I was a religious person. Because then I could, like, have this make-believe world of, like, yeah, I don't have to worry about this life, because then, like, I'll have another life, and
that'd
that life
great.
Would be mad.
But then you could turn out to be your grandma and go, oh my God, I have sex with 3 men in my entire life, and I'm 97, I'm a whore. Arlie's grandma is really scared of dying because she thinks she's a whore.
Dude, that's my guess. I am not sure about that, but I think that might be it. She is, but I feel like a lot of people would be afraid of dying.
Yeah, that's fine. But sorry, continue.
No, but
on,
okay, no,
because it's a good point.
So I'm just like, because now I want everything in this life. So I honestly. Sometimes think of the idea like, oh, if I don't fucking make it, what's the point? Like I just die.
But this is the paradox of life. And I know that this is just complaining, and I know how to get out of that state, but I just kind of feel like complaining heaps and feeling sorry for myself these days. It's amazing learning all of this self-help, knowing that it works, and then at the end of the day going, yeah, but nah. But the thing is... but... This is what happens. If you do become a big shot, and I'm not saying that I'm a big shot, but I would say
I'm a shot.
I'm a medium shot.
Yeah, you're a shot at this point. And like,
because when you go to the Melbourne Comedy Festival, I would be in the tier down from Will Anderson in terms of the numbers of people that I can pack into an audience, right?
Yeah,
so but I've pretty much accomplished what I wanted to accomplish in life. But the price was, I put my head down, I raised it, and now I'm balding. I don't know if that's good enough. There's all these regrets I have now of not taking shrooms, not having sex with randoms. That's pretty much it.
Here's the thing. You can still take shrooms. I wouldn't recommend them, though. But, man, you're fucking with my head now. This isn't fair.
It's kind of true. It's just like once you become a big shot, you really regret the life of those that aren't. And this is what I noticed with people like Miss Love is... I don't know if he has a more fulfilling life than me. He's always complaining about the fact that he has to cut up squid for 60 hours a week. But when I was doing it the other day, I was like, oh, this is so quaint, chopping a cucumber. That's marvellous. I've never done anything more fat in my life. It's because my entire life, I just live like a medieval princess who's learning to play the harp to nobody.
Yeah, all right. So here's the thing. Fuck you, man.
Here's the thing.
Like, seriously, I'm... All I'm thinking about daily is how do I cut the bullshit of my life, put my head down, and work hard now, and yeah, enjoy my life later.
See, this is the thing. I've mastered it, and like everything, the grass is always greener on the other side. I did exactly what self-help did. I am eternally grateful that it got me from the position of coming from a working-class family to the point that I'm like in the top 2% of earners in Australia, right?
Oh my god, that's a bit of a stretch. Let's just say Jordan's got principal money. School principal money. Or I don't know your finances.
Maybe superintendent money.
Superintendent money. Like the top 2%.
Which is making it in Australia. That's basically... Cursor has made a career out of talking about the fact that he's made it, being like, cannot believe it, but I have a holiday house in Scott's Head.
Mad cunt.
That's being a creative success in Australia.
Yeah, okay. So so Jordan is feeling a bit of a hole now that he's got all that cash dollars. But you know what? I don't know what to do about this. So what? So you become a bum?
No, what I'm saying is that everything in life, there's a price. And the price of success is much higher than what you think it is. And the thing is now, I am so... Because, again, I've just manipulated my habits to just be this machine that constantly pumps out content. That's all I am at this point, is this working Chinese factory just being like, you talk about how the liberals are fucked up now. That's all I do for 80 hours, 100 hours a week. Research that, do that. And I'm eternally grateful for it because I look at myself when I'm looking at videos that I produce now... And there is a skill set there that is impossible to replicate unless you're willing to put in half a decade's non-stop work. And I'm clearly a much more intelligent, much more attuned, much more comedically skilled human being than I was when I started.
I'm proud
of that. But it comes at a price, and the price is not being able to use Tinder. I'm pretty sure that's it. It's just like, it's exactly what they were saying in The Simpsons with Mr. Burns talking to those 2-year-olds, where he just goes, friends, family, religion. These are the 3 demons you must slay if you wish to succeed in the business world. And he's right. The guy that owns this station, he's a multi-millionaire. He lives in Dubai, doesn't have a family.
Hey, man, the fact that he lives in Dubai tells me that he's a piece of shit.
I mean, he's not here, so yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, hey, I don't work for this guy. And, like, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, bar me from the radio station? Yo, I've got...
He doesn't even know you're here.
Yeah, I've got mics in my pocket, man. What are you doing? but here's the thing, man. That sounds really sad.
What I'm saying is, at the end of it all, it's the same thing that you hear on every episode of Oprah. But seeing as she's off air, let's keep that train going. It lonely at the top. But on top of that, just understand that there is a price for everything. And you need to understand what you value in life Because if you don't understand that and you think that because everyone else thinks this stuff, that you should value it, and then you get there and then you do it, and then you look back on your life and you think, I just wasted the best years of my life. Because, okay, I can at least at the end of that say, my quote-unquote waste of life was actually a public service, that I did something for the betterment of society, which is to explain that you do not want the party in power whose ideology is basically Coles. Whatever Coles tells them to do, maybe not have them in power. That might be a good start. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm very proud that I'm able to shape elections to a degree, that there is that
such
I have
arrogance
a sizable
in this
impact
man.
On that. Arrogance or fact? The answer is probably arrogance. But
no, but like, dude, imagine. Okay, so here's the thing.
The thing is, like, yeah, like that's all good, and I'm really glad of that. If I was a suit, and I looked back and turned 30, I'd neck myself.
Yeah, you.
I
would.
Understand
you
why.
Would.
I understand why corporate lawyers are the highest suicide rate.
Yeah, man. Okay, so that and the other thing is, like, yeah, you're making money, but I can vouch for this because I knew this guy when he had like fuck all money, so you weren't like ever motivated by that. Like, it wasn't like you were saying like, oh fuck, I need to make $200,000. Like, all you were thinking of, like, I remember those notes, man, when we used to sit in your house, like, me, you, and the Dome King, and I remember, like, vividly you writing this piece of sentence going, like, my job is to motivate the youth of this country to bring positive change. And, like, you wrote that, and you kept repeating that. That was your fucking goal. That's a noble goal. Like, you didn't waste those 5 years. And also,
no.
Tinder kind of sucks, man. Like,
does
you,
it?
Yeah, here's the Tinder. Well,
grass is always greener.
Grass is... Tinder is... I feel that, like, constantly using Tinder, it becomes like a social media addiction. You just want to go out there and meet someone, like, old school. That's, I think, better.
That's what I'm always arguing as well. But having said that, Tinder ED.
Tinder ED, but like ED is not necessarily always good.
It's definitely not. You always want to take the hardest road. but yeah, just at the end of the day, like, as someone who basically accomplished exactly what they wanted to, and at the end of it was happy with what they accomplished, still at the prospect of turning 30 2 years from now, scares the shit out of me. So really think about the time that you're using. I've already done a video on this on self-help, so I guess this is just cross-pollination. Go check that out. But it's something that plays on your mind.
You don't
want to waste that.
So, like, this is new to me.
Yeah, well, that's why you're where you are.
Yeah, that's right. Like, fuck self-help. But, so, yeah, okay, I totally get that, but, like, I feel like I still want to be in that position where I can go, yeah, like, I achieved something.
Well, Ali, you're built for that. Miss Love is built for taking drugs and having sex with people twice.
And all the power to him, by the way.
That's what I'm... Basically, I'm saying I'm really jealous that I'm not Miss Love and excited about tins of soup. That would be good. But the thing is, I think the ambition's a curse. That's what I'm saying. Ambition... It's like what Dave Chappelle was saying, where I think he was the same age, actually. When he turned 30, he looked back at his career in Hollywood and went, the fuck, man, this whole bullshit. Hence, Africa.
Are you thinking of, like, Bali?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, is I'm pretty sure I want to spend the rest of my life in Bali with a cheap setup microphone just talking to you and... maybe being a sex tourist. That might be the next thing. So
fuck, please don't. We'll get
okay, we'll move to Thailand. Thailand is.
Yeah, sex tourism, dude. That is the nastiest thing. I don't want to do that. I'd chop off my dick. Just fucking chop off my dick.
It's
then, like, trying to go to Colombia and picking up, like, 14-year-old. You got someone that's 12.
I know. Everything about it is as disgusting as it is sad.
Let's end it, because you know, because this is a 45-minute mark, and I don't know.
Is that the end of that?
Well, we could. I mean,
we could keep going,
But we don't have any video and
nothing else to say.
So, hey, I had a segment about the US of A.
Oh, you want to do it?
No, but we'll do it next time.
Okay. See you next week.
See ya.
Hey,
no.
Bye.